Welcome to We Grow California with your hosts, Darcy Villery
and Darcy Burke,
a safe space to discuss water, agriculture, and what makes California grow.
We have guests from those who just drink water to those that make water policy, all passionate about the water issues that face all Californians today.
Join the conversation by liking, subscribing, sending in your questions, and submitting your request to be our guest. Let's get this conversation started.
Welcome, everyone, back into We Grow California. We're very excited today to welcome not only a wonderful advocate for ag, but I'm happy to call a good friend, Mr. Joe DeBosque. Joe, welcome in today, and would you just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Well, thank you for inviting me here, and I'm happy to be able to help inform people on what goes on out here with agriculture. I'm a farmer. I'm in the central part of California on the west side of Fresno County. So it's one of the primary agricultural areas of the country, where you find a lot of different crops, dozens, if not hundreds of different crops here. I happen to grow organic melons. That is cantaloupes, honeydews, and mini watermelons. I also grow some almonds. And I've been farming here for since 1985. But even prior to that, I worked on a farm right here in the same area. So I was a farm worker growing up during school summers.
Wow. So you've been in the valley a while, huh?
Yes. We're originally from Imperial Valley, and my family used to migrate from Imperial Valley to the San Joaquin Valley, chasing the crops, melons specifically, back and forth every year. And then when I was about three or four, decided to settle down there in the San Joaquin Valley on a farm. So I grew up right there in agriculture.
Well, for someone that enjoys your cantaloupes, they are the best cantaloupes in the world. If you ever need a testimony, just call me. I'm happy to give you one. So, Joe, we were pretty fortunate. I got to meet you through the Latino Water Coalition back in 2009. And if you recall, that was the year the Bay Delta restrictions went in, specifically the Delta Smelt ruling. And so you and Mario Santoya introduced me to the Latino Water Coalition. Can you tell us a little bit why did you form that group and what they're about, and are they still active?
Well, the group formed sometime probably before 2009. I got involved in April of 2009. The Latino Water Coalition put together a march for water, in which they started the march in Mendota, which is really the epicenter of the drought, and the march, 4 days of marching to San Luis Reservoir. So I got excited about that. I got involved in that march. And then after that march, they invited a bunch of us to get together and say, you know, we got some momentum going here. We need to keep this going, and we need to we need to do rallies, we need to do press conferences, we need to visit Sacramento and Washington, D.C., and we need people to do this with. And so being a Latino farmer, and there aren't very many Latino farmers, I thought, well, I guess they probably need me. So I'm going to go ahead and participate in this thing. So we did do a lot that year. We advocated for water in the legislature and got the water bond passed. We did rallies at the Capitol steps. We went to Washington. We talked to politicians. We talked to the media. We just went on and on and on and really established some great relationships with both politicians and the media. And we're able to convey our message that the drought is hurting not just farmers, but the Latinos who work on those farms and the small communities where these farm workers live and their families. So this was the message that we took out there, and we worked very diligently for quite a number of years. We got the water bond passed by, you know, not only the legislature, but by the voters. And since then, we've kind of you know, not been real active, but we're talking about reactivating some more again, because we are going into a really terrible drought now, in which the public needs to be more aware of.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering, Joe, do you feel like it's time? Because I went with everybody in 2014, 2015, did the Latino Water Coalition. I know there were groups that did the march at the Capitol during the last drought. And looking at the forecast of another, you know, they say this could stretch into a third La Nina year. Maybe it's time to put people together again and go back up there to get stuff moving faster, because things are moving. It just doesn't feel fast enough.
You're absolutely right. You know, we haven't been totally inactive. We, you know, we've been doing meeting with folks like Metropolitan Water District. We've been bringing politicians out to the farm to get to know what's going on, introduce them to ag, you know, teach Water 101 and things like that. But I think we need to crank it up now. The Latino Water Coalition, you know, is ready to do that. We do need some, you know, some funding to do this, because all of these things take funds, and the coalition doesn't necessarily have a source of income. So we do need to get farmers and others engaged in helping us to do more, you know, educational stuff with the media and with the politicians, so that they understand what's going on. Because it's been a while, and, you know, people between one drought and another, they tend to forget things. So it's time to raise awareness again.
So I think, Joe, to your point about they tend to forget things, they also term out of office, and you have a whole new class of people that you have to start from square one. I know we have the pleasure and opportunity to speak regularly, and I appreciate those conversations. One of the questions I asked you the other day, I'm going to ask you again. Okay, we did all this work in 2009, all of us, urban and ag together. We marched, we called, we held summits, we educated people, we showed them the rest of the story, which is the impacts, economic impacts, not only to agriculture, but to all those ancillary businesses that support agriculture. And what has changed? We've spent all the Prop 1 money, almost all of it, mostly for studies, no projects. So in all that time, what have we learned and what has changed?
Well, I think what we've learned is that you know, we really need to get money invested into infrastructure. The bond was passed, and some of that money, you know, has gone to maybe doing recycling projects and, you know, things like that on drinking water. But for water storage, I don't think the first shovel has hit the ground yet. And that's what we worked so hard for. But it hasn't been done. And it wasn't even enough money, but even then it hasn't been invested yet. These droughts are not going to get any better. We know that, and we need to prepare. And we don't need, you know, we don't start preparing when it's drought. We start preparing today, whether it's drought or not, because when it rains a lot, we can't forget the droughts. We need to do more to capture and save some of that excess water for getting through the droughts.
Yeah, I like to say in water, we save for a sunny day. You know, a lot of people say, oh, I'm saving for a rainy day. No, we save for sunny days, because that's when you need the water. Do you think
so this year, Joe, I know, because you actually, sorry, Darcy, because you farm, I don't know if you know this, but your asparagus field is right down the street from my house.
Yes.
And I was disappointed to see that, unfortunately, I had to, it looks like you plowed it under and weird. And so in terms of this year, what are you doing for your allocation? Cause I know you're like me, you farm in a federal district and in the exchange contractors, right?
I have that one parcel in the exchange contractors, but probably more than 90% of my land is in federal districts. So,
oh, man.
Yeah. And we've gone through a lot of this, you know, since 2009, and Darcy knows very well that we lost a lot of water, of our water supply in 2009 with the biological opinions. And so that's also made it very our water supply very unreliable. And we, you know, it's not getting any better. If anything, it's getting worse. And I would think that the state would take a little bit more active role in not just telling people to, you know, take shorter showers or not wash your cars, but also in investing in infrastructure. The state has a lot of money right now. They have a lot of surplus, and they could easily put a little bit of that in and create some storage for us that would help us tremendously.
So Joe, to that point, the governor's $97 billion excess, in his speech to the California people, he never once mentioned a water project. He never once mentioned storage. He never once mentioned ocean desalination. He didn't mention water. So obviously water is not a priority for this administration. I think in 2009 with Governor Schwarzenegger, we had an audience that was supportive and helped move that water bond and a lot of other things. So, you know, to your point that people need to not only conserve, I like to say be more efficient, just don't waste it, use what you need, because you can't conserve your way out of a drought. Absolutely cannot do that. What do you think we need to do to get that conversation, the conversation of building infrastructure, building storage, building water projects that are resilient up in the food chain, so to speak, so that we're not just talking about conservation? What do you think we need to do?
People need to understand that this can really affect everybody. Okay, they don't understand how much it has hurt agriculture in the Central Valley. It's hurt us tremendously. They haven't felt it because they haven't had to scale back their tap, you might say. And as they are now being asked to save water. Which, by the way, I think I read that the people are using like 15% more water than last year.
Yeah, no, that's a new statistic. Yeah,
right. And so they're, you know, they absolutely don't get it.
So I'm gonna jump in there for a minute as an urban water representative here. Last year was a much wetter year, given the months that we're comparing. 15% more usage. If you look back to 2001, as urban water users, we use 30% less than we did 20 years ago, and we serve millions of more people. So I totally get the 15% more than last year, but I don't think we're comparing apples to apples, because last year we did not have an extremely dry January, February, and March, where this time we did. I think if you were to go back and compare December to December, you'd see that we used a lot less water this last December than we did December before. Why? Because it rained. So I think you have to take I just like to tell.
No, Darcy, it's all the people in the cities that are yelling me online about almonds all the time. And I keep saying zero is zero, 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 zero. You know, I think Joe and I know that number really well, you know, in terms of like, I'll use 15% less if you give me 30% more at this point. You know?
Well, and I don't disagree with you, you know, for my particular area, we have built storage, our own storage on our own dime, without state help. Diamond Valley Lake is a huge investment. The Colorado River Water Aqueduct is a huge investment. And those investments are paying off. I also know that the Colorado River has multitude of issues, including severe drought in the upper basin and lower basin. It's not just a matter of regulating it and letting water out per species. They actually have an issue where the snowpack is far less than it used to be. Although, you know, right now Montana is underwater. You know, it's the predictability is gone. So to Joe's point, since we can't predict it like we used to, let's at least build something to put it in when we get it.
You're right, Darcy. And I have to you know, give Southern California credit. They've done a lot to prepare for this. You know, they've had the vision to prepare in not just conserving water, like things like recycling projects, but building storage. That's something the state hasn't done. And so I agree that they have done their due diligence. The state hasn't hasn't really done enough. You know, we can conserve, but that's, you know, that's not going to do it. We have to save. We have to save up, you know, in our rainy years for the dry years. So we have to look at that too. We can't just look at conservation. We look at, have to look at water supply, and you're absolutely right. We can't let anything go to waste. Now we definitely need to take care of the environment. We have to take care of cities, but we have to take care of farms. And the only way to do that is to be able to not have any wasted water. Take care of the environment, but don't let anything go to waste.
Well, and I think to your point, take care of everything, right? The human species is a species as well. And all I continue to hear are other species that get priority over people. And the reality is people need to eat. And both you and Darcy do just that. You feed not just us, but you feed the country and you feed the world. And people need to eat. And when there's food scarcity, bad things happen. People make really bad decisions. Food gets unaffordable. I mean, I can't imagine what one of your amazing cantaloupes is going to cost me this summer, but I'm prepared for it because I'm saving for it.
Well, we certainly, you know, we certainly do our best to produce whatever the world wants. And that's one thing that farmers in California do. They can read the markets, and whatever consumers demand, we'll plant that for them. And the thing is that a lot of people don't understand is it isn't just, we're not just feeding California. We're feeding the country. We're feeding part of the world too. And some people complain about that. Some people complain about us exporting food, but you know, it's better to have more excess food and export it than to not have enough food.
Absolutely.
So, you know, there's nothing wrong with exports. It brings back some of our dollars that are being shipped overseas for consumer goods and things like that. So agriculture, you know, has a place, not just for feeding people, but also as part of the economy.
I was going to say, Joe, that's an interesting thing to hear you say, especially because I know part of the reason the asparagus market is so bad is just is imports from Mexico, right? But are you saying, I mean, like how I think that's just how the system works, and you just got to find a new crop to get into, right?
Well, that's true. I mean, first and foremost, you know, when we learn how much water we'll have, we calculate what we can do with it. And then we have to make some cuts. And what we do is we cut out those areas or those crops that are less viable, right? So, you know, asparagus, yeah, we have so much competition from Mexico. They have lower labor costs. So we had to cut that out, and we tried to save our melons, which is mostly, stays here domestically. And it keeps our people busy here. It's a crop that we know well, and we don't have a lot of competition from other countries.
So both you, Joe, and Darcy have alluded to the fact that California farmers are the bad guys, right? That people say, oh, you're wasting water, you're exporting water, that what you're picking or choosing to grow it's wasteful. So do you think farmers are the bad guy, Joe?
No, I don't. And if people really, you know, want to look at it, what is their footprint? If any person should look at their footprint and say, how much water do I use? Right. Well, all right. So maybe they only need to drink 2 or 3 quarts a day, but they use 100 gallons a day. Why? Because they got to wash, right? Things like that. What about the food they eat? You know, the food they eat is probably 80% of their footprint. So if you think agriculture uses 80% of the water, well, that's because 80% of a person's footprint is their food. And it takes a lot of water to grow food, whether it's meat or vegetables or what have you, but particularly California products, which is fruits, vegetables, nuts, dairy. These do require a lot of water. Now, if you were happy to live on corn and soybeans, fine. You could get them from the Midwest with no worries about irrigation. But, you know, if you want to live a healthy lifestyle, you want to have these kind of crops that require water to grow them.
You know, Joe, I don't think that ag uses 80% of water. I think Darcy and I have had a conversation that urban is 10%, and you're asking urban users to cut back, you know, depending on where you live, 20-25%. Then they try to blame ag for you know, 80% in the environment, for 5-10, depending on who you speak to. And I would disagree that it's actually 10, maybe 20 for ag, and the rest is 100% in the environment, which we don't meter, we don't monitor, and we don't cut back. So, you know, you're
absolutely right. And we don't see how efficient that is.
Or inefficient. Or inefficient it is, right?
Or inefficient.
Right. So if you're using all this water to save species, how are we doing? So
exactly. Can the species get by on less water at certain times of the year when a lot of this water goes out to the ocean? And the species doesn't benefit anything from that.
No, it doesn't. You know, Joe, we only have a few minutes left. And what we'd like to do is, if you have a few minutes left remaining, we want to have you back sooner than later. So one of the questions that we ask a lot of people that come on here is, where do you go for your news sources? When you wake up in the morning, what's your news source?
I usually go to Twitter. And I see a lot of the news, media there. I do listen to the radio in the morning for a little while. I do subscribe to the Fresno Bee, but I get a lot of my information on the internet, especially on Twitter. And I can be selective what I want to read about. You know, I don't read everything. But if it's something that's important, then I will focus on that.
The other question I have, and this is probably, you're probably one of the most knowledgeable individuals about California water that I've ever met. But if you have a water question, or you need to go seek more information about water in particular, who's your water advisor?
I usually go to either like the general manager of the San Luis and Delta Mendota Water Authority.
Yep.
He's pretty knowledgeable. Scott Peterson is there too. He understands a lot of the policy side of it. So those are some of the primary people I go to.
I think that's awesome. I have one more question before we go, but Darcy, I wanted to be respectful if there's anything that you wanted to add.
No, I was just kind of, you know, something that maybe I should have asked earlier. It's you've met with people like, I mean, obviously everybody knows you met with President Obama. And as you said, with the Latino Water Coalition, you spent a lot of time lobbying with meeting with elected officials. But what's something that maybe that surprised you that they didn't, or something that surprised them that you told them and that they didn't know before, and this time you're spending, how useful it's been?
Well, I think, you know, if you want to go straight to the top with President Obama, I think he was surprised with the kind of food that we grow here in California. I don't think he understood, you know, California agriculture. A lot of people think of agriculture as, you know, kind of a general thing like you have in the Midwest. And oftentimes, you know, politicians come from other areas and they want to talk about the farm bill. Nobody in California wants to talk about the farm bill, you know, because most of the crops aren't in the farm bill. We want to talk about water. We want to talk about labor. We talk about trade. Yeah. So it does surprise me what people don't know about California agriculture.
Wow, that is surprising. That's a great question, Darcy. My final question before I have to say goodbye to you, Joe, is, if you were governor today and you could do one thing to fix water, what would it be?
I'd take some of that surplus budget and invest it in water infrastructure.
Well, Joe for governor. thanks for joining us, Joe. I hope we can have you back sooner than later. I know that at least I have a page more of questions for you. This has been wonderful. Darcy, you have any final comments?
Thanks for coming in, Joe. No, I'm great. It's good to see you again. With COVID, we see everybody so sporadically, so it's good to see you.
So thanks again for your time.
Glad to be here, and thank you, and I'll look forward to participating with you again.
Thank you for listening to another We Grow California episode and being a part of our community. Be sure to like, subscribe, submit your questions and guest requests at ecwaterpack.com/podcast. That's ecwaterpack.com/podcast today.